Please enjoy this ringback tone while your podcast is reached.
This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches. Welcome to Baroque Bitches, your art and art history gossip podcast. I'm Raquel.
I'm Chelsea.
And we already said this is Baroque Bitches, so I'm just going to keep going because I almost said it again, but you guys know that now. We're here to
date. Remember.
Remember? You remember. We got our Baroque wigs on.
I just feel like this is October, if you guys don't know. So I'm feeling Halloween vibes in my powdered wig.
This is just a Tuesday for me in this wig. Oh, wait, it's Sunday. This is just my Sunday wig.
It kind of suits us, though.
I mean, honestly, after doing the Charles or the Louis, God, they're all named Charles or Louis, but Louis the 14th episode, I just felt like we needed to really, like, get into it. And these wigs are saying, yeah, they're giving
itchy, sweaty. I was
gonna say they're giving very itchy.
So we can feel just like they did in the 17th century.
Yeah, and just relate to that.
Yeah.
Not loving it. Well, yeah, I think if anybody sees in my window, they'll just assume Halloween.
Yes. Yeah. So I am going to try this there. Possibly for Halloween. We'll see.
Yeah, no, we're going to be giraffes on my side of the street.
Is it going to be a tandem giraffe where one person is the head and one is the ass?
Could you imagine? God, no. I don't know how that'd people see those outfits.
I was a part of a tandem animal. In school, I was the butt of a camel for the Christmas play.
What grade
the literal
was this?
Fucking ass. I think it was like fifth grade, something stupid. And I was like the literal ass. And I think I remember like being low key excited about it. Like,
about
this is
the
role.
Butt.
Like, I mean, this is the
listen,
role of the century.
You have a nice butt. So it just, it all, yeah. Honestly, it suits you to be the butt. It
yeah, the sense. Butt of a big ass camel butt ass.
Big old booty. Yeah. No, these are not tandem. Actually, the face is in the neck. So the head is
above.
You just
have a head flopping around.
It's very tall. So it's going to look really good.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait.
You got to get a long tongue to like, And because I fed one once and oh, yeah. It like had this long tongue.
The long purple tongue.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah. I fed one Starburst at the San Diego
Wild Zoo.
Animal. I shouldn't Wild say animal that, Park. But you know what? I was only 9 years old, so I didn't really know any better.
My mom loves the Wild Animal Park. She,
I mean,
like,
what's
lives
not to love?
For them.
That place is amazing. It's basically just like they recreated or tried to like a safari, and you can see all these different wild animals.
You can
animals.
Spend the night with the lions and like hear the lions.
Really
roar
fucking yeah, fab cool. experience. Well, should we get into it today? I guess.
Yes.
But let's so we, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it to it. Here is going to be an episode of us talking about Caravaggio, the epitome of Baroque. And yeah, so we hope you enjoy it.
Yes, we do. Yeah. I don't know yet, yeah, but I'm sure I will.
Yeah, I mean, if we haven't made this clear enough yet, one of us is basically going in blind every other week to the other's art history lesson. So we both loosely know about some of these things. We know some art stuff, but, you know, we really just want this to be accessible and fun. And, you know, don't, like, use this to, you know, in your, like,
thesis.
Dissertation. Yeah, like, you know, we don't want to be, we're not looking to be reference, but like if you pull out some of these like fun facts at a party, that's probably going to be.
Party vibes.
Yeah, party vibes. That'll be like you'll sound smarter maybe.
You're going to be like the star of Halloween. Yeah. Go up to some Baroque bitch and be like, baby, I know all about the 17th century, huh?
She's going to be like, this is just a costume.
Wow.
Okay, we're also not giving dating advice. But I'm just saying, like, if you want some cool facts to pull out of your back pocket, that's like where we're at. But this is Baroque Bitches, the gossip podcast. So remember, a lot of this is steeped in hot, juicy goss. We'll give you the facts.
Tea.
We'll give you the tea. So without further ado, here we go. Visualize. You're walking. It's the darkest hour of the darkest point in the night. Beneath your feet, a dusty stone path. All around you are buildings from centuries before. Some filled with warm walls, the finest robes and pious paintings. The next block full of squalor. Under your feet, shit and piss dumped from chamber pots. Drunken men, wicked laughter in the distance. Impoverished hands caked in dirt. Swords glinting beneath capes. The air is full of mischief. Violence and vulgar tension, and you are fucking living for it. Oh. You avoid any light that illuminates your path as you much prefer to remain in the dark. Everywhere around you, there is evidence of great art that precedes you, but you do not give a shit. Your only focus is life, here and now, in these streets, living in the shadows. You walk forward with intent, your heart pounding faster and harder. The energy from it all festering and building inside you. No one can compare to you, and no one can get in your way, and no one will. Everyone is welcome here, so please join me for a little episode I like to call Caravaggio Tries to Cut a Guy's Dick Off, Misses and Murders.
Oh. I was just going to say that, like, I feel like I'm giving big dick energy. I guess I'm also taking other people's big dick energy and just fuck it all.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some big dick energy, like a lot of dick energy in Rome. So we're going to 17th century Rome, people. I read a statistic that like it was like 60 to 70% men there, and like none of them were looking to get married. Wow. So it was just like a big dick battle. Lots of like,
it's like San Francisco.
Yeah, I guess kind of. Except maybe like probably, you know, less progressive. But I'm really excited about this one. So Michelangelo, Merisi da Caravaggio. I don't know. I tried. That's the last time I'm going to try and do that.
It's but
I like to call him Cara in my brain. So
I'm into this guy's accredited.
This guy's accredited multiple times across multiple articles with introducing modern day painting as we know it today. And I know what you're thinking. Someone from the 1920th century, right? You'd be wrong, because it wouldn't be Baroque. We wouldn't be the Baroque bitches if we didn't talk about the Baroque. So yes, this is 16th, 17th century. He's been referred to as the father of Baroque, mad, bad, and dangerous.
Daddy.
And an overall Baroque bad boy. Today's episode, we're going to start off with some death and dying.
Let's get my fan.
We're going to be... We're going to peak with multiple arrests. We're going to segue through scandalous rumors. And we're going to end with the ultimate finale of like more death and dying.
Yay.
So, yay. Let's fucking go. So I'm going to give you some context of like what's going on in history at the time. So we already said like we're in late 16th, early 17th century Italy. And this is a time of just like religious, social, political upheaval. Like every conflict you can imagine, it's all happening. And it's been happening for centuries before this, but
it's the moment.
Yeah. And I'm going to try and like sum this up, because basically there's a shit ton of power struggles happening everywhere.
politics, blah, 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 blah.
I know, I know. I'll try and get through it fast. Just stick with me. So Italy at this point is not how we know it today at all. Like, the most of it is controlled by Spain. The rest is made up of all these little independent city-states, pretty much like every other European country at the time. There's a lot of wars happening. The plague's in there, too. There's famine. I read a quote that was like,
bummer.
Yeah, it's like, it just sucks. You know, I read like a quote, when looking at terrible times to be a human, the dreadfulness of the 17th century is often underappreciated. So... you know, like now if my iPhone runs out of battery, I'm like, mad. I don't think we can imagine just how bad it was. Like, people are just dropping like flies left and right. So, yeah, average age of death is 33 years old.
Oh, I would have been dead.
Yeah, we wouldn't be here. Oh my gosh. 50% of children are not expected to make it to adulthood.
Poor babies. And
the Counter-Reformation, what is it? If you don't know Baroque bees, don't worry, I got you. So the Counter-Reformation is why Caravaggio is so big. And the loosest way I can explain this without deep diving too hard is, like, you remember Henry VIII?
Ooh, the head choppy one.
The one with all the wives,
the
right?
One with the wives.
Choppy heads. Well, do you remember also the history of him, like, changing the Church of England?
Yes. Yeah, wasn't he like, no Catholics? And the Pope was like, you know what? I just know you want to fuck this bitch. And you're not allowed to marry her. And he was like, yeah. Okay, well, then I don't believe in you.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely part of it. But I don't honestly think from what I was reading that he stops believing in Catholicism. It's more just like, you can't fucking tell me what to do. Yeah. Like, oh, I can't get divorced.
Fucking
like, fucking
King
watch
of
me.
England.
Watch me, bitch. And so up until this point, there's like, the Catholic Church is a huge fucking deal when it comes to anybody. Like, they have manipulated everybody and, like, being like, if you shall not go against me, like, I am the ultimate.
You're a heretic.
Because I'm God.
Burn her.
You know? Yeah, yeah. There's inquisitions. There's, like, you know, it's – and they can back
chopping
it with,
people
like,
up.
Like, we'll go and kill you and all your people. Well – like, this is a big deal because Henry VIII combines the powers of church and state. Like, he's kind of like the first to do that. So, and he's like, fuck y'all, I'm both. So he consolidated religious and state power, gave it to himself. And that took a fuck ton of power away from the papacy.
Basically, like, I'm your God. So
yeah,
like, you just got a deal for right now. Fuck the Pope.
I mean,
and you can
quote me
on that.
Like, honestly, the Catholic Church is, like, so fucked up at this point. They're, like, telling people, you know, first they started with, like, give us money for your sins, like, and you'll be fine, right? We all know about that. But then they were like, give us money for your grandma's sins and, like, her grandma's sins. You don't want them to go to hell, do you, because of you? Like, they really, really take advantage of people, and they don't let anybody read the Bible. They're like, you know, we will tell you what it is. Like,
because it's a stupid book.
Well, they just don't want anybody to have, like, the power of knowledge. And
sheeple.
And I should preface, and I should remind that, like, this is a few centuries before the Counter-Reformation. This is leading up to it. So... yeah, and they're living in, like, extreme life of luxury, the Catholic Church. Like, I'm sure every time you think of it, if you think of, like, St. Peter's,
fucking
you think
fancy.
Of lavish robes, like,
fancy.
Like, golds, and, yeah, just looking right. Like, they take fancy to the extreme.
Because that's what Jesus would have wanted.
Well, the idea, I think, is that they think they're, like, holy beings and that they should live closer to how God would live. And, like, so people are kind of like, you know what? This fucking sucks. So Martin Luther, you know, do you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther, not king before.
Yeah.
That.
I think my mom said that she went to a Lutheran school or something.
Yeah.
Like
he's
that.
Like the start of Lutheranism.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's like,
like,
you know,
you guys.
Like, this is too much. Like, you guys are doing the most. Like, taking advantage, you know.
Stop.
Too much. That. King Henry dies. And then his daughter, Queen Mary, becomes Queen Bloody Mary.
Bloody.
She restores the church to Catholicism, but it doesn't live very long. And then Queen Elizabeth, you know, the one with the white face and the big crazy poofy collar thing, she restores it back to Protestantism.
Fashion.
And fashion. So the Pope is fucking pissed. He even put a hit out on the Queen of England.
How dare he? Yeah.
So then war starts, of course. Okay. And they keep going. There's a lot of micro leaders and groups rising to power, then falling. And then there's, of course, other battles for power happening within the church itself. Protestants are pissed about everything the Catholic Church is doing. They start destroying art and statues and, like, burning shit down. But the Protestants also encourage people to get educated, which I know. So that also dismantles, like, the Catholic power, because they can no longer, like, safeguard the conversation around the Bible. They introduce a printing press and shit starts getting circulated. And so the Catholic Church is like, fuck, what do we fucking do? Like, we got to get everybody back on our bullshit, right? So they get together and they make this, like, Council of Trent. They're like, let's regroup and enter Counter-Reformation.
Let's figure out our brands.
Yeah, get people back. So part of this new plan for world domination is Inquisition, which is, like, basically, like, fuck the Protestants. Everybody, get them!
Burn her!
Burn! Burn! But they also put a plan in writing to not only have art made, but to have it also evoke emotion, have people be able to relate to it, and basically, like, here are pictures. We want them to, like, fuck your shit up. Like, so hard that you jump on this Catholic bandwagon.
Sexy Jesus.
And love me again. Yeah, sexy Jesus, but, like, also, like, suffering Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, we want him to relate to the people, like, seem more in touch with the poor people before. Because before this, it was very much, like, looks so nice to be in these paintings. Mm. And now it's, like, maybe we should, like, play on their emotions a little bit.
Oh.
You know, like, make them
manipulation, yeah, like, manipulate station. Them.
Manipulation station. And they're like, artists, we need you. Make it fierce, make it sparkle, make it razzle,
make it dazzle.
But also, like, terrify them to their very core. You know, so they like us again. Okay.
Like us again. Here's my money.
So here, and yeah, and give us money. So I think everybody thinks of Italy as the Renaissance. You know, you don't really think, at least for me, like, going into learning about art, I just was like, okay, Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci. Mm. That was pretty much it for me.
Yeah, the Mona Lisa.
Like, the Mona Lisa.
The statue of David and his little wiener.
Little wiener. Teeny weeny. But I think, like, what you don't realize now is looking, like, if you go to Italy now, a lot of the way that it looks modern day is because of the Baroque period. This lavish grandeur happens, and it comes out of this period of time. Like, the way St. Peter's looks with those columns that, like, almost wrap their arms around you as you're walking up to the Basilica.
Oh.
That's all Baroque. Mm. Yeah, and a lot of the shit during the Renaissance got destroyed by Protestants. So this, like, and so then, so the Renaissance happens. Just think, like, idealized, la la la, let's be with God type of paintings. And then Mannerist happens, and, like, I'm not even gonna, like, who cares? Like, really. In the Renaissance, though, it's like these idealized images. And the Baroque, then the Baroque hits, and it's like, boom, there's the innate realism that the Renaissance gave us, but shit is fucked up. Stories are no longer, like, idyllic depictions, but the unhinged truth of these religious stories.
Mm.
Like, even the David that you were just talking about, that big statue, mm-hmm. Like, he looks really peaceful, and he's getting ready to gear up to kill Goliath. Like, that would have been a really scary moment.
Stressful.
And he's, like, trusting himself to anchor God, to, like, be have God with him to do that battle. And it's, like, questioning faith, you know, making, like, thinking he might die. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not going to look like that. At least not for me. I'd probably be, like, throwing up and shitting myself.
100%.
But so the Baroque, you know, like, I kind of already said, like, the Catholic Church wants it to be something enough to move people. And they want it to look like real emotion. Almost like, like, 2001 Britney versus, like, 2007 Britney.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, like, she's like, and by the way, girl, we love you. Like, we're here for you.
Yeah. Get your knives out. Let's go.
Get your knives out. Chop, chop.
Into it. Be careful, though, babe.
Yeah, be careful. Because, like, we love you. And we don't want one of those knives to go rogue.
God, I so remember looking at that first album when I was, like, 9 or 10 or something.
Oh, yeah.
And just being like, this is the perfect girl. That's the perfect girl.
Yeah. See,
that's
and that was the Renaissance, though. They were like, we are perfect up here. God's perfect.
Yeah.
The Baroque's like, this is, like, fucked up. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, Saturn's eating his babies and, oh, God. So, anyways, I know, sorry. And thank you for hanging out with me during that, because I like to think, like, every artist has, you know, there's a bit of luck, and they have to enter the world at this, like, perfect moment for them. And all of this stuff leads up to the perfect moment for Caravaggio to not only be relevant, but also revolutionary, and have a moment in time where he can come in and fuck shit up, just like they're asking him to. So now let's get into it. So he's born in 1571 in his native village, Caravaggio, where he's brought up. His dad's a stonesman, and his mom has some connects to, like, local nobility. And
she's got the tea.
She's got the tea, but she also has, like, the connects, and those connects, like, become important as he's, like, later on. I don't want to spoil it. He gets into trouble. Let's just say that. He needs some
money.
But by the time he's six, his paternal grandparents, his dad, and his uncle all fucking die. And we don't know too much about him because he doesn't live very long. And also, he's very difficult to keep track of. He doesn't, like, okay, he doesn't live long enough for anybody to really write it down. And he's also a little flighty. So we don't know a whole lot of what happens after that. But what is written down, I think it's kind of cool, because what we do know was written by local biographers that live, like, around his time or shortly thereafter. So it's kind of like the TMZ of, of, like, you know, 17th century. But
yes,
anyways,
our people.
Yeah. But so in his teens, he, like, starts his artistic training in Venice with Simone Petrozzano. And this is where he would have learned how to, like, paint, how to make canvases and drawing and blah, blah, blah. And he would have, like, you know, had his own little Renaissance, where he's, like, seeing Michelangelo and Da Vinci and Titian and Tintoretto. And he's like, oh, my God, I'm so inspired. It's like that college moment, you know, where you put, like, that Big Lebowski poster on your wall.
Yes.
And you think you're really cool.
I'm
like,
here.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like he would have been, like, definitely.
This is my moment.
Making himself cool. So I'm sure it was really inspiring. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, and then his mom dies when he's 19.
Mommy.
And this is all, like, plague stuff we have to remember. So it's not like they're just, like, randomly dying. It's like, no, he's probably, like, watching them die and decay. Like, Plaguey was like necrosis. Like, your skin would go black. Like, that's why it was the black plague. Like, you, like, decay while also being alive and dying.
Isn't, like, ring around the rosy, like, have to do with, like, the sores?
I don't know.
It's ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies.
So,
because they thought the herbs helped, like, clean the air around them. And then ring around the rosy, it was like a boil. It starts out with, like, a boil with, like, kind of like a ringworm looking situation around it. And that's what it's about. And then kids would sing that, probably just because, like, we gotta make light out of this somehow, or else we're gonna be, like, wildly depressed. Imagine,
like, being a kid at the time. Like, it's not like being a kid. Like, you don't have a childhood. Like, it's just, like, you're instantly just thrust into death and dying. And
yeah, this realness. Is a part of it. Yeah, yeah. Mommy and daddy are going to die horrific deaths, and I probably will, too. Or, like, too.
You might die.
Yeah, and if you get sick at all, it's like, probably not going to make it. So let's get another. Let's pop out another one. Dude. Gnar.
I know, like, for real, so, and that's, yeah, but for real, it's, like, super, super difficult to be alive at this time, and the, so, anyways, I know, like, so gnarly, so anyways, after this, Caravaggio supposedly takes to the streets, and he falls in love with this group of painters that live by this motto, nec spe, nec metu, which means without hope. Without fear.
Oh, bad boys.
I'm like, so bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna... But seriously, they probably were. Like, people were fucking terrifying at this time. So then there's some skepticism that Caravaggio kills somebody in his hometown. He sells off the land that he inherits, and yeah, I mean, it's like, we don't know for sure, but it's like, he probably killed that guy. So he gets the fuck out of there and goes to Rome.
Rome, if you want to. I love that song.
Rome around the world. Yeah, that's right. The B-52s are like your favorite band.
Yeah, right? I love B-52s.
Run hip to hip. Dude, I love that song.
We have, like, the right hair.
I know. I'm picturing Caravaggio, like, on the side of, like, a wagon with, like, the wind blowing in his hair.
Hell yeah.
And, Rome if you want to. All right. So here's where shit, like, really starts to heat up, though. And so lots of hot goss and lots of hot juices. So Rome is, like, huge compared to where he was growing up. Like, he's like a country bumpkin, and yeah, he, like, went to Milan and he went to Venice and he did this, like, painting understudies or whatever you want to call it, but he's not, like, Rome is his shit. Like, he fucking loves it there. It's a big city. There's fighting in the streets around every corner. There's hookers, there's gambling, there's partying, there's, like,
clutching, like, my pearls.
I know. But and there's, like, crazy partying, like cult parties where they, like, worship Bacchus and stuff.
Yeah,
he's here for it.
Like, eyes wide shut.
Eyes Wide Shut vibes for sure. So, but he obviously, like, has to make a living. And so artists at the time have this way of, like they either work in a workshop working for another artist, or somebody would sponsor them and, like, take them in and offer them, like, protection. And it's all very, like, I don't know, gives me gross vibes, right? Like, like, I don't want anybody, like, you know, having.
It's almost like kind of jail vibes a little bit, like,
I don't know if it's jail vibes so much as it's just like what do they call those, like, the sugar baby vibes, you know?
Okay.
Like, but not in, like, an empowered way, like in a I own you way. That's like the vibe that I get. But we know that he has, like, this really rough start when he gets there. He's basically living with the impoverished people, and he's working in an art workshop, not painting what we know of. And then he gets a room at Monsignor Pandolfo Pucci's house, who's Pucci. A local priest. Pucci
the priest.
And this guy, you know, he has, like, connects to the Pope, so maybe it was, like, a move on Cara's behalf, but I think he probably was just lucky. He was, like, a boarder there. But there's this famous story where Pucci feeds his boarders salad morning, noon, and night, like a fucking dick. And so Cara famously calls him Monsignor Insalata, which means Mr. Salad.
Mr. Salad.
Mr. Salad.
Salad fingers. Early hashtag rusty early spoons. Random quotes.
Rusty
spoons.
So then he starts working for Giuseppe Cesari. He trains here. He makes, like, still lifes of baskets of fruit. They are really fucking good paintings, by the way. Like, there's one surviving still life of fruit, and if you look at it, it's like, holy shit, that is like I know I don't like fruit art, you know, it's like very 90s to have fruit art up, but I would like, I would put this fruit art up. Like, it's a really good painting.
Yeah.
And fruit definitely plays a role, and so while he's here, he paints this one of his, and it's an early work, it's called Sick Bacchus. So you can look it up if you want to. I'll put it on the gram, but picture like a creature, like boyish figure. And by boyish, I mean like teens, not like boy, but you know, and picture him, like kind of like curled up, like looking kind of like over his shoulder, glaring at you, creepy, haunting, sunken eyes, really sick, like jaundicey. But still, like, youthful and, like, blue lips and looking at you, like, wide-eyed and seductive and, like, a Roman, like, a little, like, crown of leaves on his head and a Roman-type, like, sheet draped on him. So this is a self-portrait, and it's kind of disputed, like, whether or not he was just super sick or if he, like, got kicked by a horse. But I think he got kicked by a horse and he, like... gets laid up in the hospital. He's super fucking injured. And he's like, okay, I'm going to paint a self-portrait of me looking like this almost next to death guy. And I'm going to look at the camera or the, you know, the person like, hey, want to fuck me? Like, that's kind of the vibe. Like, he's looking like he's after it. And Bacchus is the deity of, like, wine, theater, indulgence, ecstasy, but also, debauchery, but also, like, destruction for that reason, like, right? He's like, let's party till, like, it kills you.
It's not good for you, but you're going to want to.
Right. And there's, like, And this is, like, a kind of a running theme in all of his work, like, this, like, conversation between death and life, like almost dead, not quite, like living somewhere in between. I guess you call that purgatory, but you know, whatever. So at this point, he like is living in with all these poor people, selling his paintings on the open market. And there's like all these different cardinals that are hugely influential in Rome with like money and power. And they're trying to all, like, they're part of that, like, battle for power. Like, they're all trying to, like, you know, like, maybe I can be the next step up. Maybe I can be the Pope. Maybe I can be this. And since since the Council of Trent puts the word out that they want artists, that creates this moment for Cara. Francesco Del Monte, this guy, comes in. He invites him to live in his palazzo. And this guy, I mean.
Just come live with me, baby. Come live with me, baby. I'll take care of you.
Yeah. I'll take care of you. Nothing to worry about. Come paint for me.
I would literally sell my soul for someone like that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, art at the time is like so important. And it's interesting because like art, as we know, like establishes wealth and power. Like people very much like to be like, put a building with my name, like I'm gonna get painted, like, you know. But artists are still kind of considered like a low life sort of deal because they work with their hands, so they're respected but like not really. Like it's like it's still kind of just like like, okay. But this guy Del Monte, like, there's definitely a reason that they kind of get like paired, that they work together. I think this guy loves art. He loves music. He considers himself like a Renny man, Renaissance man. He's friends with Galileo.
You know, he's number.
Like probably wanting to be the Pope. He's like connected. Like remember?
Wow.
Yeah, like remember like the band, that show with Puff Daddy, where he's like orchestrating bands to be made to be like the next. He's like that. He's like basically Puff Daddy, who might be actually getting put on trial for the Tupac murder.
Isn't he involved? I'm pretty like, sure like we kind of all concluded that he had something to do with
it's
that.
It's like something we knew, and you know what? It's kind of like I mean, Del Monte and Puff Daddy have a lot in common, let me tell you.
Cycles back.
Or like America's Next Top Model, you know? Like it's that kind of vibe. Like who's gonna be the next artist? Like Caravaggio wouldn't have been the only one. But he's definitely a major player in the industry and in the industry of industry. The papacy industry.
Yeah, well.
So Caravaggio starts with, like, commissions from Del Monte, and this is when he makes this painting, The Musicians. And this is kind of, like, our early example of what sets Caravaggio apart from everybody else painting-wise. And just so you get BBs, Baroque Bees, just so you know, it's a example of a Venetian concert. And but, you know, before they would have painted probably, like, the concert happening, and Caravaggio is like, no, I'm going to paint the practice happening. So it's, like, the practice before the big show. And all of them are, like, young men, and they all look really flirty, and they're wearing, like, flouncy stuff. And, like, one of them, I think, has, like, like the chest open, and they're, like, looking like they just had a huge orgy. Out. Yeah, it's just, like, looks very orgy vibes.
Everybody's a little flush.
Yeah, and Del Monte's kind of like, dude, like, they can't know that, like, you know, because, oh, by the way, Del Monte's, like, probably gay, probably like pedo vibes. Yeah. And we're not like putting down the gays by saying that. Like, we know, like, gay, good. Pedo, bad.
Pedo, bad. Yeah. I think we're all on the same page.
We're all on the same page there. Like, please don't think that just because they said he's gay and he's a pedo that I think all gays are pedos. We know that's not the case. He's just a pedo. But, and that's why I think, like, they probably got paired up, because Caravaggio at this point's already, like, you know, I love debauchery, and it shows in his paintings of these musicians. And Del Monte is like, dude, they can't, like, know that I'm, like, gay. Like, I can't, like, put this up on my wall. So yeah, I
need to keep it on the DL a little bit, babe.
Be a little bit more discreet. But the reason that this painting is important, and Caravaggio does this a lot, like, you'll see there's few other paintings if you look him up on Wiki, but he paints people. He starts history painting, like, not people of, like, middle upper class. Like, I'm sure you guys can all picture, like, King Henry VIII or Louis XIV in those fancy portraits. These are, like, fucking poor people. And he's painting prostitutes, and he's painting his lovers. And he never sketches. He just paints right onto the canvas, and he dramatizes the image to reflect severe emotions using, like, light and dark. So if we're thinking, like, light and dark's his jam. There, and we call that, like, chiaroscuro, scuro, or tenebrism. Like, think, like, if we're thinking high, like, the contrast settings on your phone, it's, like, the highest setting. Like, that's his jam. And he uses the light to, like, highlight the important parts of the picture. And he also is doing religious paintings. And that's why it's so fucking scandalous, because he's taking his, like, hooker friends and his, like, you know, Baroque friends, not Baroque, the movement, but his broke ass friends. He's putting them into these fucking religious paintings that are being commissioned by these important religious people. Like, fuck, man.
Who's gonna know? Who's gonna know?
But no, like, they knew. And we'll talk about how they knew later. We'll talk about how they knew in just a minute. So he's painting, and people are like, nah, dude, like, not, like, they're getting rejected. A lot of his commissions get rejected because he's just ahead of his time. He's ahead of his time. But he gets a big break. He receives the Contarelli Chapel, and these were genre paintings. But when they get released, they fucking go viral. And people travel from, like, all over, and they go, Rome, if you want to. And they go see, and very quickly, like, overnight, his fame rises. Ooh, he becomes, like, hugely sought after. And this is where the rumors really start. So, yeah.
Trending.
It's like he gets famous, and then his shit, like, just he just
can't handle the fame.
He can't handle it. He cannot handle it. So he's incredibly famous at this point, and a lot of what we know about him also is from arrest records. So local local biographers like at the time. So a lot of them say he likes to go binge drinking, fighting, and fucking.
Me
so
it's too.
Like that song, like drink, fight, and fuck. Drink, fight, and fuck. That's like his theme song. Like that's just him all day. So he'll have these moments of like immense productivity of making art, and then he goes off the grid for a few months at a time.
Oh, relatable.
Though we'll talk about the hookers. So
yes.
Yeah, let's get into the hookers. So Felide Melandroni and Anna Bianchini, these are friends. They were friends with each other, and they come to Rome at a very young age, and their moms put them to work as hookers. And like their early teens, dude, like 13, like no, like
maybe,
but we know it's a different time. Like,
I mean, they're living till they're 30, I guess.
Yeah, right. So, like midlife. At
yeah,
this point.
They're no, old.
Thirteen, yeah, like a third of their life. Like. Yeah. So he would have, they come and they would have met him when they were like maybe a little bit older, really not clear how they met or why, but we know that they meet and that they're friends because he uses them as models to be like, to be like the Virgin Mary and Mary of Magdalene and all these like beloved religious women. And this is really shocking for everyone because Rome at this point, like, it's big, but it's not that big. Like, it's like 100,000 people, maybe.
Okay.
And there's like a hooker part of town. Like, where, like the popes always try to contain it, but they end up just kind of being like, okay, just like go over there in that like corner. And so these women, they would have shown up and in like these paintings, and people would have been like, oh, that's fucking Felide. I just fucked her last night. Like, you know?
Ooh, yeah. They don't want to see their at the chapel with their wives.
Their wives.
They're going to see like, oh, I don't, who's that? What are you talking about?
Or they're like a, you know, like, I don't know, like a priestie or something where they're not supposed to be like indulging.
Oh,
there she is.
Oh, they're so rubbing it out to the Virgin Mary. They have to be. They only live till they're 30. Might as well.
Yeah, and I mean, this is why people think Caravaggio is like an atheist, that he like doesn't believe, because he's, you know, making, it's kind of like he's like making fun, maybe a big joke, maybe super intellectual, and like being like, no, we're really gonna make him relate to the people. There are a few quotes that like kind of suggest that, but it's still fucking like a little, let's just say, unorthodox to do that. So, anyways, look up this painting, Judith Beheading Holofernes, which is, this is the same year he makes his big break. It shows Judith, a beautiful widow, entering the tent of Holofernes because of his desire for her. She would have been, like, really hot, right? And he's this Assyrian general who, like, wants to go to the town that she lives in and destroy it. And this is the story. The story is she's like getting him wasted and he passes out and then she decapitates him. And this has been done like as you do, you know, when a guy is trying to get at you.
Oh, yeah.
It's very much like that movie Teeth. Do you remember?
Ooh, I love Teeth. So good.
Where the vagina bites the ding-a-ling off.
Fucking bite it.
It has that kind of vibe to it. Yes. But the kind of thing that had never been done before that Cara does is makes it mid-beheading. So people had done this painting before with like her holding the head or maybe before it, but this is like he's still alive and still like halfway through dying and
she's
halfway
like
through being alive.
It.
And she's sawing and you can like feel it.
Yeah.
So gnarly.
The blood.
And the blood is gushing and his face is all on.
And she's kind of like, oh, no, but also like, keep fucking sawing it.
Yeah. And so Judith is Felide. So the hookers show up in various paintings throughout his career. Anna sort of disappears, but we know from her arrest records that she dies. She's found dead in the Tiber River, and it's questioned if she's murdered or not. But there's another painting, Death of the Virgin, that she reappears in as the dead virgin and her body's all like bloated and like rivery and stuff. And it's rumored Weird. That Caravaggio had her dead body delivered to his studio so he could use it as a model for his painting.
Yeah. That's dedication. Dude. He loved her. He just loved her.
I don't know
her.
If it's like he loved her or he was just kind of this like no, very extreme
that's
guy.
Insane.
Like I know that people like Leonardo and stuff would use like cadavers to study the body, but like that's next level. Like that's your friend, man. Like
I want you to paint me after I die.
Like Please. In the wishes, in the wishes, instead of like being cremated or.
Well, I want you to paint my dead body, and then I want you to taxidermy my body. So I'm always
oh my god watching. No.
Well, and but I also want a funny tombstone. I want to say I saw a tombstone once.
You have a lot of plans for your death.
That, I just gotta like separate a couple of pieces because I want God. Lots of different things to happen. And I saw a tombstone that said, "I told you I was sick."
Oh my
that's
God.
That's so good. I want to have God. A funny tombstone though, so I might have to have a full situation. I should buy it now.
I mean, if you're going to be taxidermied
with a tombstone.
You might have to go to a different country for that one. I'm not taxidermying you. What? But I will. I maybe paint you, but I don't know. Okay. I don't think I could do it. I'm like, I'm getting queasy just thinking about it. But yeah, you have like kind of the sense of humor that Caravaggio would have had. Like at this point, he's intellectual. We know that because he knows all these stories and we know that he's like smart enough to kind of have this cheeky play on stuff and put his hookers and gay lovers into these paintings. So Felitti, after this, we know she gets arrested a lot and she's a total badass, like total Baroque beat. And she has these records of like beating up people. And then, then she works her way up to being like a head courtesan. Like she's like running the show.
She's good. And, she got a wop.
But she also is connected to Ranuccio Tomassoni. And that name's important. And we'll get there. So let's talk about his arrests. So he starts getting arrested a lot. And he gets arrested a lot for carrying a sword around. He's just like there's multiple stories of him just kind of like charging through the streets in the middle of the night with a sword and his servant following him. Like he's just like looking for trouble. Like he's just up to no good. Like he's just like being a little menacey. And he's carrying it without a permit. And so this is like not uncommon to do, but just the image of like a painter walking around with a sword, like looking for a fight. I just think it's really funny.
It gives me like, you know, that just to intimidate people, he needs to have a little something.
And we know that he's like got a little temper, like he's a little hothead. He's a little testy westy. But so he gets arrested the first time and then he's released because Del Monte's like, no, he's with me, like he can have his little sword, like he's fine. And I think he's just an edgy lore. He's just edgy. He's just being like, you know, he's just edgy. Yeah. He's got tight black jeans, like he's just edgy. I think it gives him this like idea, like, oh, I got away with that, I can get away with shit now, right? So then he gets arrested for beating a man with a stick and tearing his cape with a sword at 3 a.m.
Oh, no.
He is accused by a man of libel and he attacks him with a sword. He attacks a Vatican notary from behind.
Oh, no. What did a notary do? What did a notary do to you?
I don't know. He's probably just, like, talking shit. So there's various offenses, and he goes away for months without paying rent. Like, you know, he's probably off on one of his bendy bends. And then his landlady, like, is like, dude, you're not paying me rent, so I'm going to fucking lock you out. And also, you cut a hole in my ceiling because you needed the light for your art. Yeah, that's kind of dude.
It's a rental, dude. You can't do that.
So then he comes back and he throws stones at until he breaks every single window of her house.
Ooh, that's a petty queen.
It's just like, a pretty petty queen. Come on, like, let's have some accountability here, man. Mm. But no, he's not about that. Oh. So then there's the artichoke story. This is a pretty
love artichokes.
So he's famous at this point, and he like thinks he's such hot shit. Mm. And he goes into this like little restaurant bar tavern situation, and cute. These would have been like he would have frequented their osterias, and he's getting wasted with his buddies. He orders some artichokes, like you do.
Sort of some artichokes.
Really good drinking food. Yeah. And he's like, I want four cooked in oil. Yeah, I want my pita smell. So
I want
good.
Four artichokes.
I want. Four cooked in butter and four cooked in oil. Oh. So this poor waiter brings them out, and Carr's like, how do I know which is which? And he's like, well, you could smell them, and that would help you tell the difference. And the Caravaggio gets, like, fucking pissed, throws the plate at his face and, like,
This is Karen.
Yeah, and, like, goes – yeah, no, Karen to the max. Like, how the fuck dare you tell me to smell them, you fucking piece of shit? Oh. He, like, freaks out and – yeah, and the waiter runs to the police immediately, a little snitch bitch, and tells on him, and then he gets arrested for that. So then there's a libel feud, and this is the time of, like, my reputation is everything to me. Like, do not damage it. So, it like, libel, you know, now with, like the Johnny Depp Amber Heard whole thing.
Gotta have receipts.
Oh, man, you... Well, I don't think at this time you really needed receipts, but but nowadays you do. But
it's word of mouth, and if you talk shit, I'm gonna fucking slice you, bitch.
Yeah, and so this is kind of like that fucking intense. Like this, so there had been a feud between Giovanni Baglioni and Caravaggio simmering since he was working at that workshop in Cesari where he does Sick Bacchus. And Baglioni's working there too. And Baglioni fucking hates Caravaggio. He's like, this guy's a huge dick. You know, he's like, why does anybody like him? Like, fuck this guy. Everybody loves him and it pisses me the fuck off. There's even like this painting of fruit that Caravaggio does. And Baglioni's only, I think it was Baglioni, don't quote me on this, but his only criticism of it was like, those fruits wouldn't all be in season together.
How petty, like, dude. Fucking swallow a fucking artichoke. Suck on that.
And Caravaggio is like talking shit too, but also feel like he kind of just like he's annoyed because Baglioni's like plays
jelly.
Nice.
He's jelly.
Baglioni plays nice though, and he starts getting all these commissions that Caravaggio should have gotten, and it's pissing Caravaggio off because he's like, dude, I'm better than you. But it's like, dude, but you're also like controversial, and you're like throwing plates at artichoke people and like getting wild, man. You're like hard to work with a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody wants that.
But seriously, don't tell him I said that because he would be so mad at me. Anyways. So Baglioni paints a painting with Caravaggio as the devil and Cupid as a well-known Roman male prostitute. And Cupid's like getting like... I think it's, like, you know, sodomized by the devil. So, like,
oh, wow.
It's definitely, like, a lot.
Subversive.
Like, it's part of the reason we think Caravaggio's gay is, like, you know, the rumors are, like, a little – all rumors are kind of, like, based in truth a little bit, right? So, that's part of it. That's not the only reason. But – so then Caravaggio writes this long-ass poem calling Baglioni talentless, and he circulates it all over town. And I'm going to read a quote from it. So take your drawings and your cartoons that you have made to Andrea the Sandwich Man, or wipe your ass with them, or plug up Mao's wife's cunt with them because he doesn't fuck her anymore. And that big mule's dick of his, with that big mule's dick of his.
Oh.
So obviously it probably sounds better in Italian. But translated, you understand the severity of this. And he's like handing this out to people. Like, look at this poem I wrote. Like, what a little shit. So and he says, if you want to criticize other people's paintings, even though you know that yours are still nailed up in your house because you are ashamed to show them. And in fact, I want to give up trying to speak of your reasons to be ashamed because I feel I have too much material to work with.
Wow.
And Mao is Baglioni's wife's friend, the one he talks about, like, oh, you're fucking his wife, which was probably true, by the way. So
it's so much good tea, dude. It's like
really
these
bossy.
Guys are so petty. So I love petty. It.
So petty. And this would have been like, like very of the times. There was like a lot of male tension, a lot of like male,
with your big so donkey annoying. Dick. What did he say?
With your, yes.
Like, this, I mean, that's.
Or go fuck Mao's wife's cunt with them because he doesn't fuck her anymore with that big mule's dick of his.
I mean, okay.
That, so those are the burns of 17th century Rome. Those are the
we
burns.
We love it.
So Baglioni's insanely jealous. This causes a huge libel trial that goes on for a long time. Caravaggio goes to jail for 2 weeks. But what's funny is after Caravaggio, there's all these painters that are inspired by him and want to be like him and start painting like him. And in history, because we try to compartmentalize, they're called the Caravaggisti. And Baglioni is fucking considered one of them.
What?
Yeah, he's like considered like to be highly influenced by Caravaggio, which he was. And I think he even does like a biography on him. After Caravaggio died.
Oh, like I knew him.
Yeah, like I knew him.
We went to the same
like,
school.
Like what a fuck boy, right? Like that's yeah. so fucking annoying.
Like, it reminds me of shoot, like I man. Heard that Picasso would talk a lot of shit. He just would talk a lot of shit regardless. But like yeah. he would talk a lot of shit on Rousseau. Like the Rousseau's the guy that painted like the jungle creatures and stuff like
right.
the jungle animals and some like super weird for the time but like his paintings are dope and Picasso would talk mad shit like this guy is fucking stupid
really arrogant
but
right?
then yeah oh yeah like hardcore ego stuff Chris, I'm not sure if it's big dick or small dick energy. I'm not sure which
Honestly,
one it is. That's when you
it's
don't
just
know.
Dick energy.
Just dick
like,
energy.
Why do we even try to categorize it? Like men can just
it's
be
It's just
so
dick energy. But just then when he died, like they the you know, because he was so famous, they went in and like looked at all of the like his artwork
his
and like
dick.
Excavated all of his artwork.
I thought you were gonna say they looked at his dick and they found
they
out
brought,
what size
I mean,
it was.
You, we gotta know. But like kind of buried away, he was doing duplications of Rousseau's work because
Damn.
He actually did like it. But he was like jealous of him. So he was
yeah.
like, this guy fucking sucks. Fuck this
yeah,
guy.
Because he was trying to control the conversation.
Totally.
Yeah, and Baglioni totally does that shit too. Damn. We got to do that story. That's
dude.
Some hot, gossy shit.
Yes. I knew him.
I knew him.
Duh. We were like buddies.
And what's funny is
ew.
Like. Ew. Yeah. And like after Cara dies, like he like it all goes away. Like everybody forgets about him. And Baglioni's still like, please. Like I knew him. It's
wow.
like an obsessed. Like you're obsessed. Why are you so obsessed,
why are
with,
so
me?
Obsessed with me?
Why are you so obsessed with
Get
me?
Get out of here. You don't even go here.
My wig is so itchy. Okay. So
gotta lean into it.
So let's talk about the bisexual. So gay or straight, in between. Let's see. So if you like Google just like his entire work, like if you just say paintings by Caravaggio and you look at them in a whole, you'll notice that it's like a lot of half naked dudes or like full naked dudes. And they're like youngish men, like maybe like early 20s, maybe like 16 and up. But I think like the times were really brutal. So maybe these guys were really young because, you know, now today is like 40s the new 60. Like people look really good. Back then, I feel like if you were, like, 8, you probably looked 20 or something because it was
yeah,
just gnarly.
Just
but anyways,
haggard.
Right. And I think – so, but I think they're all younger than him is the theme. Like, they're all, like, pretty young and, like, hot.
Yeah. He wanted to be daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And there's, like, no – it's no secret that there's, like, a lot of sex happening at that time with like underage boys too. So maybe that was happening, but none of history like really suggests that. It's more just like looks like
speculation. He's
in, yeah, there's like a few men that are recurring, like Checo and Mario Minniti. Those are like his quote unquote friends, but they keep showing up in his paintings. Like, and then
very sultry.
Yeah, and they look like it's like very obvious. Like you look at them and you're like, dude,
like stop looking at me like that.
And so I was trying to find where the rumors really come from, because you know, at the time I don't think there was a lot written down, like other than the libel trial and the gay devil and Bacchus. But there's like an English traveler at the time, Richard Simons, who at one point witnesses Caravaggio painting, and he writes of Checo del Caravaggio, his boy that lay with him. So that kind of just solidifies it for us that it's like, oh yeah, they fucking hard. And people think like he was fucking Felide and Anna too.
Mm.
And this is, so remember that guy Renuccio Tomassoni?
Mm-hmm.
So his death is probably the most rumored of all. Some people say, so he gets in a fight, like a duel. It's not a duel, 'cause he like brings his four friends, and it's like a prearranged fight with this guy Renuccio Tomassoni. So Renuccio Tomassoni was like the head, like what do you call it, like a pimp for Felide.
Oh, for the ladies.
For the ladies. And we know that from arrest records and from other things. But basically, some people say that the fight was over a tennis match, and some people say that it was over Felide the hooker.
Mm.
We just know that it was arranged. It was between eight people, and they meet at a modern-day tennis court.
It's like, you know what?
You know what?
I can't imagine like someone playing pickleball right now and just being like, you know what? It's time to die.
You know what? Fuck you. The way you hit the ball really fucking pissed me off. You've got to die. No, I don't think that's what happened. I think that it was prearranged because, well, some rumors say that Caravaggio was like pimping himself, and that's why there's so many hookers in his paintings. And he was like, but I think he was just poor, and these were like women that were like, oh yeah, I'll pose for you, I'll be in a painting. Like, I don't think they really cared.
Yeah.
But some people say that he was like, maybe it was a pimp battle, like they were fighting over whose hooker she gets to be.
Oh, whose and turf other, this is.
Yeah, who gets whose the turf bag. This is. Or like maybe Caravaggio was in love with her. But I don't know. I don't really take him as like a one woman kind of guy. I think he's more like a multiple dudes and like a little woman here and there. But I don't know. Either way, they get in this fight, and Caravaggio hits Renuccio Tomassoni in the femoral artery on his thigh. So people think he was like trying to cut the dick. Missed.
You're aiming. And then
he was aiming for the dick, because injuries at the time meant different things. Like if you cut somebody's face, it was like you were avenging something somebody had said about you. If you cut somebody's dick off, you were avenging a woman. So it's thought that he was trying to cut the dick off, missed, hit the femoral artery, and then killed this guy.
Wow.
But court documents point to it being over a debt. But, I mean, come on. With all the, like, there's just so much symbolism. It's just pointing to this.
Yeah. You know, I feel like dick is very specific. Like,
but either way, so either way, Caravaggio at this point, he's called in so many favors. He's called in favors to his, like, mom's side of the family, who's connected to wealthy families. He's called in Del Monte, and you know what? The Pope's like, dude, get the fuck out of here. Like, you can't be a little menace to society. Like, just get the fuck, you can't cut guys' dicks off. Like, get the fuck out of here.
You gotta go.
So.
Even though I think like the Spanish Inquisition was definitely cutting dicks off. They were definitely doing some weird stuff to buttholes. I know that.
I mean, honestly.
I went to the torture museum. They were doing some butthole stuff, some dick stuff, some cut off your titties.
Lots of all the things. Titties. They just get you in the
pyramid is my favorite thing. Androgynous zones.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, exactly. Just because they're so suppressed sexually, they have to involve sexual organs. They have to do it and buttholes splayed open.
And, you know, at this point, like, if he hadn't have been famous, he probably would have gotten away with it. Like, it's the kind of thing you can lay low and, like, come back and it's like, oh, whatever. But no, at this point he's famous. The Pope's like, get the fuck out. And so he goes to Malta, which is this, like, little island off the coast of Italy. And there's, like, these knights. He becomes a knight.
Okay.
He manages to become a knight of St. John. And it's like, dude, how the fuck did you pull this shit off? But that's what makes you think he must have been really charming or, like, you know, really, like, knows how to work it, like, talks into being a knight. And then they have him do some paintings. But then he inevitably, like, pisses somebody off and gets in a fight with, like, the head knight dude. So then they put a hit out on him and he flees to Sicily. And this is – so when this happens, he's like, okay, I need to get back to Rome. Like, please let me back in, Pope. Please, please, please. And he's, like, calling every favor he can. Like, please help me. Please get me back in. I hate it. I hate it here. And so he makes a painting, and it's thought that it's, like, an apology painting. And it's –
it's nice.
It's a wait till I tell you what it's up. So it's David with the head of Goliath, which we've seen before, right?
Yeah.
But David's usually, like, triumphant and, like, you know, victorious, and the giant's like, whatever. We don't really care that he's dead. He's not, like, a huge focal point, or maybe he is. Not in this painting. David looks really sad, like he might be crying, and he's holding the head up, so the head's, like, a main focal point, and it's fucking Caravaggio's face. But he's, like, dead, and his eyes are, like, running away from one another. But he's, like, and it's, like, the life is, like, dripping out of him, of his face.
Very self-deprecating. Blood.
It's, so yeah, it's kind of like he's, like, oh, sorry, Pope. Like, here I am. Like, sorry.
I'm dead inside without your glory.
Take this weird painting I made for you. Please forgive me. Okay. And he sends it to the papal court after he's exiled. And he does get granted the pardon, and a papal pardon for the murder. But it's disputed whether or not he knows. But either way, he's like, you know, and he's painting this whole time. He's painting a lot. And his paintings all get super fucked up and worse and weirder and weirder. And so he brings a bunch of paintings with him while he's on the way back to Rome. He gets detained at Port Ercole, and all of his belongings are still on the ship. And rumors say that he gets released from being arrested, and he's, like, at this point gotten really sick, and it's debated whether or not he got, like, from that fight with that knight, that St. John knight, whether or not he got, like, fucked up from it or what. But he gets released from being arrested, and he's, like, running on the beach, and he sees the ship with all of these belongings that he, like, paintings that were gonna get him back in the favor of everybody, and they just ship off without him, and he dies on the beach right then and there. That's a rumor, but we don't really know is the truth.
That's so appropriate, though. I know. I feel like you have to go out dramatic.
Oh, yeah. That would be, like, very on brand for him. Like, he's very, very edgy, very hot, heated, influenced by emotion. But what's more likely is that he died in a hospital, that he, like, had somebody from the Knight of Malta put a hit out for him, and that he, like, gets attacked and dies in a hospital there. But we don't really know, because either way, he dies alone. He's in an unmarked grave. We don't know where his bones are. They think they might have found him a few years ago, but it's thought he either died of staph infection, of syphilis, or of lead poisoning, which if his behavior says anything about that, it's, like, probably lead poisoning, right?
Yeah.
Because lead poisoning can make you erratic, irrational, like, kind of seem, you know, just off kilter, very unhinged. But he was pardoned in the end.
The Pope liked the weird painting.
He liked it. And so he dies in 1610. He would have been 38 years old.
Wow. Yeah. Caravaggio. Yeah. He is like King Edgelord.
Oh my God. So real talk though, I do love his paintings. I mean, they'll knock you off your they'll knock you off your feet now. Mm. Like they're really intense. And I remember seeing one for the first time, like the Medusa is like a self-portrait, and you know, Medusa with the snakes and like she's given a power that if any man looks at her, it turns them to stone, you know? And it's like a self-portrait of him being beheaded, and he's like Medusa, which is really ahead of his time. Like
he really likes the heads off.
He likes the heads off. I mean, yeah.
He doesn't want the heads on.
I mean, the androgyny, there's like androgyny in a lot of his works. There's death in everything. This idea that like death creeps around every corner, the darkness and the light working together to show you what the importance is of life, and also bringing in like, you know, taking like people that wouldn't have been considered heroes or worthy of being glorified and really rising them up of like those people I think were his shit. Like they were like, he's like, yes, I love the poor. I love the hookers. I love the fights. Hell, I love the
They're so much more fun.
And I don't want to, I don't know if hookers is PC. I'm not against sex work. Like we're here for you girls.
Sex
like,
work is work. It's yeah, hard sex work. Sex work is work. Get your bag.
I love it. I mean, well, I've never subscribed, but I'm not putting it down whatsoever. Whatsoever. But yeah, so sorry if that's not PC, but yeah, and so a lot of people are influenced by him today. Cindy Sherman, she does a whole thing on him. Fendi has quotes like loving on him. David Hockney, Martin Scorsese. Martin Scorsese talks a lot about how it influences like the aesthetic of his early works too, like Caravaggio. And I think, I mean, Scorsese, right? Like he's making all of his movies about bad boys. Bad Boy Club though.
Killing in secret and who's on my side.
Yep. And like, so when we were talking about person at the party, like who, if they were here today, like who would they be? I immediately with the artichoke story thought Joe Pesci, and not Joe Pesci, like that's the person. I don't think there's anybody extreme enough now to be like Caravaggio, but maybe Joe Pesci as Tommy and Goodfellas.
I was actually like thinking of like Tony Montana Scarface type of situation.
Yeah,
he has
that vibe. Like, but you know that like
all.
You know that scene where he's with Ray Liotta and they're all laughing. He's like telling a story about being arrested and they're all laughing and having a good time. And he goes, Ray Liotta so goes, "You're a funny guy." And he goes, "Funny how? Like, you know, like." Funny how, like, I amuse you. I'm a clown.
It's so good.
And there's this, like, tense and moment like, where you're like, wait, is Joe Pesci about to kill Ray Liotta? Yeah, like, you're like, fuck, man. Like, ew, like, sorry. Didn't mean to poke the bear.
I love it. Yeah, like, I was thinking, like, gangster, like, some sort of gangster situation.
Yeah, and also in that movie, Joe Pesci, like, thinks he's finally accepted by the Italians. And then they murder him in the end. It's like, you know, Caravaggio is going back. He thinks he's going to make good with the Pope. And then he's like fucking likely murdered by these St. John people. But yeah, really juicy stuff.
Very good. Caravaggio, naughty boy.
Yeah, naughty. So I'm going to do like a little contour drawing. Put it up on the gram along with all the images we talked about so you can look at them if you want. And then next week is your turn, bitch. Don't tell me who we're talking about. I want to be surprised.
It's gonna be nasty.
Oh,
it's a good one. Yeah, I'm working on the duplication right now, but because we always want to do like get in the shoes of the artists that we talk about. So
we just like making stuff. So sorry if it sucks, but whatever. We'll just put it up.
Yeah.
You're going to be great. Chelsea does amazing duplications. Just
I just like to copy people. Art is theft.
Okay, Baglioni. Sorry, that was a stupid joke. Oh my god, that was so dumb. Well, thank you guys for being here.
Thank you. Love you.
Mean it. See you next
week. Bye.